You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
So we're past the 24-hour point, right, Josh? Like, we can't really talk that much about...
Doesn't feel like
Bills
it.
Houston.
I don't know why, but it doesn't feel like it.
No, it doesn't. Yesterday was a day. But there are points, I think, in yesterday's game. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I think there are points in yesterday's game, or not yesterday's game, Sunday's game, that will be talking points for the rest of the season. Whether it be clock management at the end, across the board, from D'Amico Ryans and Sean McDermott. The Bills' inability to pass the ball the moment Khalil Shakir is not 100%. You look back at the Baltimore game. The moment he gets that ankle injury, yes, there was the broken play to him, but ultimately it fell apart pretty quickly. And for this to kind of been, regardless if it was the Bills' immediate plan or kind of like their plan B, C, D, whatever, it's the plan they walked into the season with. I was somebody that gave it a lot of patience. I was kind of excited for it. I thought this is where the NFL was going, where you wanted to spread the ball around more, just have a bunch of solid dudes who could get open and catch the ball. And that's been the one key issue up to this point. Even in the three games they won, really outside of Jacksonville, guys are not getting open nearly enough outside of Shakir. And man, Josh, when it's bad, it's awful. It's nearly unwatchable football. And that's what they were on Sunday against Houston. A defense that is not particularly good. It's not like this is the Jets defense, which they're going up against this weekend, or this Monday. And a team that, Helen, I don't think has ever particularly played well against. I mean, there's been good Jets games. I'm being facetious when I say that. But like in recent years, those have been the games, even when they have Zach Wilson playing at quarterback, he's not particularly good. And now, I don't know, Josh. I mean, a part of me is now just sitting here going like, all right, rev up the engines on the wide receiver train. We're doing this again for like the fifth year in a row. Because they don't have dudes. They're paying $8 million a year to a guy in Curtis Samuel who is doing nothing. I mean, nothing. Yeah. His stats this year, I wrote them down just real quick. His stats this year... 9 catches, 48 yards. We're through 5 games. 9 catches for 48 yards. We're through 5 games.
You know what he had last year through 4 games?
What?
Where'd it go? I had it written down. Oh, no.
Wait, we're through 5 games.
Well, through okay.
Going into the Sunday.
Right. Yeah. I guess I didn't write him down. I did that for Mac Hollins and MVS. I came prepared. I have notes. I have written
That's
them
what you've
down.
Been writing down here for the last few
well,
minutes.
Well, I'm just tweeting it out now. Some... free agency numbers for Bills offensive players since 2021. It's not been good. Surprise, surprise, it's not been good. I did write it down. I just saw it. Through 4 games last year, because this is what I based it off of. I based it off 4 games this year, 4 games last year. He was 17 for 20 in terms of catches and targets, 178 yards, 3 rushes for 20 yards, and 1 rushing touchdown. No passing, no receiving touchdowns. So, again, like you said, to compare it to this year, that's a vast difference.
They have no plan. They have no plan for him.
And it's glaringly obvious. Every single time he is targeted or gets the ball,
it's a bubble screen.
If the pass is completed, he gets maybe a yard.
Maybe.
Or he gets blown up in the backfield.
Oh, yeah, because Duncan Cade. Blocking, man.
Forget about tight end university. Go to blocking university.
Oh, man. And that's the thing is, watching the Chiefs game last night might be the perfect example for this. The Chiefs have also, I have said, been a really bad team at identifying the wide receiver position post Tyreek Hill.
Right.
They've tried a lot. They have not been particularly good at it.
To be fair, when they got Kadarius Toney, he did... Or are you talking in the draft or just overall?
Really anything.
Okay, well, to be fair, when they got to Kadarius Toney at the trade, or near the trade deadline last year, he was useful.
He had a useful game. There was a game where he was where he popped off.
Yeah, it's one
I think
game.
We give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt a lot when they make these trades, like, because you'll see it all over Twitter. How could we let them get this guy? How could the NFL let them get this guy and that guy?
And hey, I mean, before he got hurt, Rashee Rice was looking good.
No, Rashee Rice, I think they've nailed that pick.
He was on his way, and obviously there's all the off-field stuff and now the injury, so yeah. you don't know what's happening there.
In terms of talent, they've nailed that pick.
Right, but you're exactly right. Like, everything else, Sky Moore, where's he? You know, what's he doing? He's just kind of...
It is fun
out.
Whenever he's on the field.
Right, yeah, for sure.
It just feels wrong.
Yeah, but it still feels so different when you look at what the Chiefs have done and how they still look as a team compared to what the Bills have done and how they look as a team.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, yes, in terms of talent acquisition for guys they didn't have, it's not been great. But, sure, there's been a few that have worked out. Tyreek Hill, Rashee Rice is starting to, and you look on the Bills side. Stephon Diggs obviously was great. But other than that, what have the Bills done in terms of adding talent?
Yeah, that's a frustrating bit for me there, too, because like, I don't agree with people when they say like the Bills have never valued wide receiver. That's just factually incorrect. They did trade a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm. That first-round pick ended up becoming Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
Yeah. But I thought so, but I couldn't remember.
At the time,
sure.
It was you needed an immediate addition. You clearly needed a one, because in 2019, you had added Cole Beasley and John Brown, which worked very, very well for the Bills. You drafted Gabe Davis. My problem has been, I feel like the Bills have stopped really caring about that position after that 18-month window.
Yeah.
From 2019, that offseason of 2019, into the offseason of 2020. They stopped seemingly caring about it, because that was always my biggest issue with kind of the Diggs era. It has never been Diggs' personality. Mm-hmm. Top-tier wide receivers are always divas if you base it off of what, you know, a fan's definition of that is. Some are way worse. I mean, George Pickens basically doesn't run routes for the Pittsburgh Steelers anymore when he does not get the ball. It's really bad. And then you have other guys like Marvin Harrison. From what I remember, when he was with the Colts, he was very quiet. Didn't really say too much except for on the field.
I was just saying, what?
But that's really... And I could be wrong on that, but that's how I've always remembered it, especially during that era with like T.O. and stuff like that.
Chad Ochocinco.
The biggest problem with the Bills, though, was that they did not have a second option pass takes. They tried Gabe Davis far too many years. And now you're seeing the problems here with the Bills of just they've let the cupboard get dry, and now they're still discount shopping.
Right. Well, and that brings me to all the research I did yesterday. So I've been looking at all of the Bills' offensive free agents that they have added, whether it be from outside the organization or guys that weren't signed right away, and then after free agency started, they circled back and signed them. I started at the 2021 offseason, because that is the first offseason of no John Brown and no Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
Both of them are gone at that point. They don't come back, I don't think, unless Beasley came back at the end of the 2020. No, right?
They both make returns that are very...
Right, but it's not in the sense
we're in desperation.
Yes, right. So, if you're looking at 2022, they re-sign Isaiah McKenzie. He plays one season with the Bills, has decent numbers.
But that's when he's the slot receiver.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's when he's trying to be the Cole Beasley replacement. But like I said, he doesn't come back with the Bills. He's released in the offseason. They sign O.J. Howard, who never plays a snap for the Bills. Never. Not once. Cool. Great. Jameson Crowder, signing that offseason, goes to IR in week 5. Can't really do much about that, but, you know, poor luck of the draw there. And Tywan Jones, a running back, re-signs with the Bills, only plays special team minutes in the entire season. 2022 offseason, Damian Harris, Trent Sherfield, Deonte Hardy, that whole thing didn't work out.
Yeah, we kind of know where all of that went, which is nowhere.
Right, and now, obviously, we're in the first full offseason of Joe Brady, and we get Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, Quentin Morris, if you want to look at that, because he was offensive re-signing, and MVS, and Ty Johnson. Sorry, forgot about him. Through all of that, over the last 4 years, your wide receivers, which consist of 7 players that have played meaningful snaps for the Bills, have 839 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. The tight ends, not that you've needed them to, have done nothing. And the running backs, really there's only 2 of them, Ty Johnson and Damien Harris, have 2 touchdowns and 121 rushing yards on 30 attempts. And granted, they were more in a backup role, and Damian Harris did get hurt.
Yeah.
But overall, that's your offense past Allen and Diggs for the last 4 years.
Yep. It's been
and you let Gabe Davis go, who was inconsistent as he was.
Well, and yeah, he's not lighting up for Jacksonville.
Right, exactly. And also, another point on all this, none of the players that I listed off there played with the Bills past one season, even the ones on multi-year contracts. And again, we're still in this season now, so we don't know what that's going to lead to. But it's just so jarring to me that you have seven players, and some of them were in supposed to be in wide receiver three or even wide receiver two conversations. And like Deontay Hardy, for example, he had 15 catches as a Bill for 150 yards and one touchdown in 16 games played.
Yeah. I mean, what, never got off the ground.
What is that? And you can even look at Trent Sherfield, who the Bills get him and the Dolphins are freaking out. Like, oh my God, we just lost this great player. Sherfield plays every game, has 86 yards and one freak touchdown.
Oh, in the Dolphins game, the final regular season of the game.
He's falling out of the end zone, but he keeps his feet in and he makes a crazy catch, which, sure, that's important. That was the game-winning touchdown. But at the same time, again, you're signing these players, expecting them to be something, and they're nothing.
Well, I mean,
it's
even
not
look at
working
it,
out.
You look at even this year. I mean, yes, he's on a one-year deal, but like Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
I think most of us were kind of assuming like, all right, he'll be like a wide receiver four role. He'll be here. And in the first few games, it kind of makes sense. Like he's in just these little spot roles here and there. It's not too bad, what have you. And now all of a sudden these last two games, dude, he has 12 targets and three catches. They are just doing whatever they can. And we have some breaking news, actually.
Oh.
The New York Jets have fired Robert Saleh.
Whoa! Whoa!
Okay, so that changes very much how we're doing the show. The Jets will not be playing the Robert Saleh Jets. I don't really know who's going to be their head coach.
Are we going to be playing the Aaron Rodgers Jets?
Effectively, yes.
I mean, man.
I do want to get back to this. The real misses the Bills have had on offense, specifically adding players, because you can even go to the draft. I mean, James Cook is a running back. You likely should want out after 4 years of that contract. Dalton Kincaid is a first-round pick, but a possession tight end. But, man, the Jets. All right, so Robert Saleh is out as head coach of the New York Jets. We've got ESPN on here. They're playing that. Adam Schefter has tweeted it out as well. He was informed just minutes ago, apparently. I'm not surprised. I am at the timing. The timing feels very sudden.
It does, yeah. I don't know how I feel about Robert Saleh as a coach, because he has dealt with so many just kind of bad situations, but he's also put himself in bad situations, I feel like. I mean, while yes, he is part of the decision-making group, at the same time,
it felt like he's not, though.
Right. It felt like it was just, hey, man, here's your new quarterback. His name is Aaron Rodgers, and he's 40 years old.
And he definitely has more power than you.
Yes.
Just be prepared for
that. He is actually the coach. You're just the figurehead.
And that's kind of how it has felt. So, like, again, that's why this is not too surprising. The timing is stunning.
Right. That, I mean, now you have the Jets, well, the Bills going to the Jets next week. For the Jets, the season is almost effectively over, but if the Jets somehow win on Monday night next week, that's a big shot in the arm for them, at least for morale.
Well, I guess that's my thing, too. It's, you know, I'm saying this is, you know, maybe on the Jets side of things. You've beaten the Bills in far worse circumstances.
Right. With Zach Wilson coming in for an injured Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, recently.
Yeah.
So, like, let's not act like you couldn't right the ship here. I guess that also tells you, I mean, he's 20 for 36 in his few years here as Jets head coach, but.
Well, but I mean, also, like, again, look what he had to deal with. He had Zach Wilson, who, while, yes, he looked like a decent prospect, he was never the guy coming out of college.
Yeah.
It was always a head scratcher of a pick. Again,
yeah.
You have to wonder what he had to say in terms of, you know, the input there.
Yeah, I do wonder how much power Saleh has ever had
in
New York.
It just, I don't know. Again, I don't know how to feel about it because I don't feel like we've gotten a full look at what he can be as a head coach. He obviously comes from the Kyle Shanahan tree, coming from San Francisco, which, you know, that's proven to be a good place to come from. But I wonder if he was in the wrong situation in New York. I don't really know what New York's situation.
Which, like, it's probably true for most head coaches.
Well, right. I was going to say, what's New York's solution here? I mean, Nathaniel Hackett's their offensive coordinator, and that's Aaron Rodgers' best friend.
Who's going to be their interim? I assume that's going to be Nathaniel Hackett.
Again,
which
it's going to be the
dreadful.
Aaron Rodgers Jets.
Oh, man.
Because it's Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, man.
It works so great in Green Bay.
Let's
have it again in New York. It's not going to be the same solution.
He's been horrendous.
Is this a precursor to a Davante Adams trade? Is this a Adams will only come here if Saleh is not the head coach?
No.
But think about it. He worked with Nathaniel Hackett.
I think this is coming from Rodgers saying going to lose his mind if Saleh is still the coach.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think Adams plays a part in this at all. I think this is all Rodgers going, I won't play for Saleh anymore. And so
I think we kind of saw that, you know, with whatever happened.
So it's going to be Jeff Ulbrich.
Huh?
I do not know who that is.
Interesting.
That's coming from Peter Schrager.
I look at, you've got to put yourself.
Defense coordinator. Their defense coordinator is going to be their interim head coach.
Oh, he's the guy from with the beard from Hard Knocks.
Bingo. Yep.
Yeah. He was kind of a nice character. He was fun. He was like your typical defensive head coach. Again, but like, why are they focusing defense here? Sure, their defense is great, but their offense is abysmal. Why wouldn't you try to get an offensive mind in charge?
I think every team kind of has that contingency plan of like who would be your interim.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of teams will have the assistant head coach that'll be your interim guy.
To go back to the whole Nathaniel Hackett thing, you have to put yourself in the mindset of Aaron Rodgers, which it's hard to do because there's some interesting decisions in there. But think about this. If this is really coming from him, and if he really wants Davante Adams to play with him, who does he want as part of the group, the leadership group, or the immediate leadership group when Adams comes here? It's Nathaniel Hackett. They worked well together in Green Bay. He won back-to-back MVPs with Hackett. And I'm not saying it's going to work again in New York, but if you're Rodgers, that could be a line of thinking of, hey, if I get this guy out of here, maybe, just maybe, my guy can become the head coach, which we know he's not now.
Yeah.
But
it is so funny, though, still, like how this was so clear that you could see a blow-up was coming for the Jets.
I just didn't expect it to be that.
No, I mean, I kind of expected to be like this fast. I just, again, I didn't assume they'd fire Robert Saleh. I thought it would just be, you'd see for like 3 or 4 weeks, just the absolute jet circus that it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And instead now it's Saleh gets fired. I don't know the lines yet. I don't even want to say probably, but like there's a good chance they lose Monday night. Bills go to 4-2. They go to 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
And their season's lost again. Rodgers is already getting beat up regularly. That O-line is still not good. He's leaving games limping almost every time now. I mean,
he was crawling across the field like a video game character.
We're talking about injuries he picks up like every game.
Yeah.
It's super... I don't want to say interesting. No, it's just it is super Jets of them.
It's expected.
It is super expected to do this.
The only thing that's unexpected is the timing.
Yeah, the timing is a little off.
And honestly, too, where does Saleh go from here?
Back to being a DC. He was great.
Right.
He was a great defensive coordinator.
Where do you think? I mean, because I'm looking at other teams.
I mean, I'm fairly certain Minnesota's going to lose Brian Flores.
Ooh, yeah.
So, like, that might be a good one of, like, all right, you kind of get somebody in that same mold.
Brian Flores goes to New York. Robert Saleh goes to Minnesota.
Let's do it.
Who says no?
Let's do it. But I think that's the thing is he's likely going to go back to a defensive coordinator. I think you are right. We really didn't get to see what he could be as a head coach.
And I think we will again. He's young. I think there's a chance
he's a good coordinator.
See him as a head coach again with some other team in a better situation or a different situation.
I do wonder, though, how much the NFL is going to hold it against him of just like it felt like for 2 years you were basically just a figurehead. That two of your...
It was, hey, that guy coaches the New York Jets.
Ultimately, it was 3 years and some change. This is into his fourth year as head coach. So, like,
I look at the teams around the league and teams that could use a new head coach soon, and there's a fair chunk there.
Yeah.
I mean... Sean McVay for years has talked about how he wants to retire.
I was going to say every year we have.
Every year it sounds like he's going to retire. So do the Rams want to go in a new direction if Stafford also retires? I mean, that's a spot.
The Rams ever hiring a defensive-minded person would surprise me.
Yeah, right.
Because of the success they have, because of the brand they've sort of built. Like they're kind of like that in the Pittsburgh Steelers mold or the Chicago Bears mold.
What about the Cowboys?
No, that feels like Bill Belichick. That just kind of feels like it's going to be Bill Belichick. Like, we're all waiting for Mike McCarthy to get fired, but, like, it's going to be Bill Belichick.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Comes full circle. Belichick goes back to the Jets.
Oh. I'd hate everything about that. I'd hate everything about that.
That would be such another Jets move. It'd be so bad for the Jets. Do it.
I don't even necessarily know if it'd be bad for the Jets. No, like, I still think Bill Belichick's a good coach. I do think, for the most part, the game has somewhat passed him by.
Yeah, and he would go in there and try to make some stupid pick again, like Cole Strange in the first round.
No, the key is when you hire him, and I think he's learned that after one offseason of basically no one even wanting to interview him, he will not be the GM of this team. Someone else will be doing that.
Have you seen some of the storytelling from the Aaron Hernandez show?
I've seen
with
clips.
Belichick.
I've seen clips
where they're drafting him, and Belichick's just like, yeah, we should just do it. The value's great, and Robert Kraft's like, yeah, value.
I've seen clips. We've got to stop. Who is your audience? Is sports people? It is not. It is not the true crime people. It is sports people.
It's coming off as a true crime podcast, but because the way the story went. But back to the Jets though. Mm-hmm. I think this is only. I want to say this is negative for the Jets, but I also don't know.
I think it was very much expected, so yeah. I'm not surprised. Again, the only surprising thing for me is the timing.
Right. But and honestly, too, if you think about it, the day the Jets got Aaron Rodgers, this was going to happen. I think that this was inevitable as soon as the Jets...
Unless it worked.
Well, yeah.
Unless, like, they got... Like,
it
last
didn't
year,
feel like it was ever going to work. Off the bat, even in training camp, it did not feel like there was a mold there. It didn't feel like it was chemistry.
You could argue, too, that this was maybe a year in the making in that sense, too, because Saleh felt like already was on the hot seat when they went and got Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't get hurt last year, and we're just seeing all of their issues this year, a year early... Maybe they don't fire him going into week six.
Right, but you fire him at the end of the year.
But you probably fire him at the end of the year. Like, it was almost a saving grace for him and Joe Douglas.
And then that puts them in the running to get who? I mean, there was...
Well, Ben Johnson and Bobby Slowick, neither of them leave their teams.
Right, but do one of them leave to go coach...
A 40-year-old quarterback?
Garrett Wilson.
But a 40-year-old... Who cares?
Right, but you're there...
You need the quarterback.
You're there and saying, hey, Aaron, yeah, great to have you. See you never, because... He's going to play the end of the year, and then he's going to be done.
Yeah, you need a quarterback. That job is one of the least attractive in sports.
No, but think about it. If it was the end of last season,
mm-hmm.
and you were a prospective coach heading into New York, you have to deal with 1 year of Rodgers, and then the team is yours.
I maybe have to deal with 1 year of Rodgers.
You think he's going to be back?
He could pull a Brady and just decide I'm going to keep coming back. I now can't draft his replacement without that being a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're one of the least attractive sports organizations right now in sports.
It does depend on what Rodgers does. If Rodgers retires at the end of the year, they have a good chance at a clean slate. But at the same time, we've seen them have a clean slate before, mm-hmm. and they've messed it up multiple times.
Connor Hughes, Jets reporter for SNY, he's saying sources confirm that Jets have fired Robert Saleh. I touched base with several sources over the last few minutes. Sentiment shared by all. Stunned. They did not see this coming. It's good. It's good. I like that. Very Jets move with them. 803-0550 is the number to call. Do want to jump back on this Bills point, the misses in free agency, namely, of course, on the offense. But really, the big news of today and going to be for the rest of the week with the Bills heading down to New Jersey to take on the Jets for Monday night.
It is in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget that.
The Jets have fired head coach Robert Saleh just 5 games into his fourth year as head coach. They are elevating their defense coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, to serve as interim. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Again, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. This is WGR.
The defense, first of all, the defense was obviously good, but there were times where we saw they were struggling a little bit, and then Robert Saleh seemed to have no control over the team itself. The offense was being run by Aaron Rodgers. You had Nathaniel Hackett there. You heard opposing coaches. You heard people on iNetwork and various other stations and radio and beyond. Everybody that knows anything about football was talking about how pedestrian the Jets were, particularly offensively, how they were bereft of the kind of leadership that you need in order for this team to be what their potential was for them to be. And then you saw the relationship with him and Aaron Rodgers on...
Stephen A. Smith of ESPN giving his thoughts there on the very recent firing of Jets head coach Robert Saleh. Jeff Ulbrich, their defense coordinator, will serve as interim head coach. Saleh, 20-36 in just over 4 years as head coach, was into his fourth year as head coach. I don't find this to be a surprising firing, only the timing of it surprising. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Kia, or excuse me, we are going to get now connect to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We've got Frank here on the line. He's been holding for quite a while. Frank, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good. How are you?
Doing very well.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Okay, thanks. Just wanted to compare a couple things. I'm a long-time Denver Broncos fan. I love the Bills. I grew up in Wyoming. Huge Josh Allen fan. I see a lot of similarity of the organization and the fan base and the media coddling McDermott. You guys aren't, I mean, from my perspective, Broncos did the same thing with Mike Shanahan after he won the Super Bowls and he hung around and he just couldn't get the job done anymore because Elway retired. And Shanahan won Super Bowls. He was good offensive mind, but he won the Super Bowls because of Elway. Same reason Belichick won Super Bowls is because of Brady. Belichick and Shanahan were great coaches in their own respect. But McDermott isn't in their boat. You have a once-in-a-generational talent in Allen. And for the fan base and the media in Buffalo to expect different results from McDermott, it's just not going to happen. I mean, I'm not attacking McDermott personally, but he's just not going to get the job done. And it's unfortunate. There'll always be a good team with Josh Allen. I think Allen is probably hurt a lot worse than you realize. And I'm not making any judgments about the personnel on the team. That's up to you guys. You know that situation better. But I think for the fan base to continue to make excuses for McDermott, it's just not going to lead to anything good. And that's very unfortunate for a lot of entities. But Bronco fan base did the same thing with Shanahan. And they eventually parted ways, and Shanahan went to Washington and was very unsuccessful there. So I don't think McDermott, the only reason McDermott's winning games is because of Josh Allen. You're not winning games because of Sean McDermott. And this idea of complimentary football, I mean, tell that to Tom Brady. Brady threw the ball when he wanted to and when McDaniels wanted to, not when Belichick wanted to. And so that's my perspective, and I wish the Bills the best. I was heartbroken the other day when they lost at Houston, and quite frankly, that is as unforgivable as the 13 seconds. That's my piece. I wish you guys the best.
Yeah, Frank, thanks for the call. I don't really think many of the fans are actually giving McDermott much of a pass or anything. I think that's one of the more critical fan bases of a head coach in the sport. I will say on the Shanahan stuff, it ultimately did take him missing the playoffs 3 years in a row after winning two Super Bowls to eventually get fired. Mm-hmm. Now, to your point, though, that was after Elway, you know, retired, and they eventually became much more of a team that was, you know, 10-6, 9-7, 11-5, what have you. I don't want to give too much credit to McDermott because I really am still quite dumbfounded at the end of the Houston game. And yeah, for the fact of the matter is, like, they fumble a lot of these close, big time decisions. They do.
Well, it's
and we're in year eight with McDermott.
Yeah, but
he made the playoffs his first year with the Bills and a rebuilding year with Tyrod Taylor. Mm-hmm. Some of it was due to turnover luck and such. That was not a very talented team. Don't get me wrong. They were in somewhat of a rebuilding, but he did make the playoffs and he routinely puts up a very good defense that gets hurt a lot. Don't get me wrong. I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about it a lot this morning, and I know a lot of the rest of our hosts have kind of talked about it. I have a tough time talking about McDermott getting fired because I honestly don't feel it to be a realistic topic.
What do you mean? In the sense of, like, it won't happen or?
Not right now, no.
Oh, well, yeah.
And not even really at the end of this year. Like I just said, Mike Shanahan, who won two Super Bowls, had to miss the playoffs three straight years. Andy Reid is maybe the perfect example for McDermott of many people defending don't fire him because Reid was this guy for years, just on the offensive side of the ball. It also took him missing the playoffs, like, I think 2 years in a row, but not winning a playoff game for like five. I understand it, and to a certain point, I very much agree with it. I also just, I think we're just screaming into a black hole.
Part of it, though, I think depends on who the owner is and what the time in the NFL is. Because if you look at all those, it's drastically different time periods in the league. And if the owner, in this case, Terry Pegula, or you can look at any team and say, look at that owner, look at Jerry Jones. He's a very demanding owner.
Mm-hmm.
How demanding is your owner in terms of success? If your team goes from a top three offense to middling of in the NFL.
What did Jeremy and Joe say today? They're 13th.
Yeah. And right, four spots behind them is the New York Jets and mm-hmm. old friend Brian Daboll. So I think that part of it depends on what you look at as successful. And another part of it also depends on where the NFL itself is and where your team is within that league. Because if you look at what the Bills have right now, it's a franchise, second best guy in the league, sometimes first best guy in the league, freak of nature quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
A defense that never quits, partially because of McDermott, and an offense that is sputtering because of organizational decisions. And I think that a big part of that is going to be what happens to the defense.
Yeah.
If the defense starts to take a nosedive, I don't think it's going to take missing the playoffs for 3 years. I don't think it's going to take missing the playoffs at all. If both of the, because your division is good, is bad enough where you can make it to the playoffs mm-hmm. because of Josh Allen. And I think that if it's a, you know, you're squeaking into the playoffs a couple years in a row and your defense is starting to sputter and your offense is still having issues, that's when you could see a firing, even though the team made the playoffs. I really think that that would be.
I think it will take a lot. I know. I will say, though, the temperature is turning up in terms of the national media.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know how much on ESPN they have, but I know Colin Cowherd has mentioned, I think on his own podcast and then his show as well, of like, it's time. And don't get me wrong, I am kind of at a point, too, where it may not even necessarily be firing, but just a different voice. We are in year eight. They have made a single AFC championship game. Mm-hmm. They have not made the Super Bowl.
They have lost
in the divisional round 3 years in a row.
This should no longer be the trust the process teams. This process is set.
Yeah, so
you have everything. Your quarterback is no longer Tyrod Taylor and Nathan Peterman. You have Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and change the culture a little bit. You don't have to make a foundational change, but you have a good foundation. That's what you should build off of. And, mm-hmm. and you have this moment of, look what Josh Allen did for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And you can't, you have to seize that. You have to go out and get someone else that can be like him.
I just don't, it's to me right now, it is just not realistic to expect it, to want it, to hope for it.
Well, no, I'm saying with this group, you have to try to do something like that. You have to take advantage of what you're given and adapt from being the team that had Tyrod Taylor to, hey, we have Josh Allen, the best quarterback in the league.
I mean, so then, like, we're talking about a head coach being fired on a Tuesday heading into Monday Night Football. Is that what you want then? Is McDermott gone?
No, I'm saying if you're not going to fire him, then change something. Have a conversation of, hey, look,
mm-hmm.
what we have here is great, but we need to build on top of that. We can't just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Oh, no, I don't think they are doing the same thing over and over again. I think they are changing it, and they've done it wrong. I think like that's the thing. They have changed.
You need to make a change right now. You can't wait till the end of the offseason. I know it's a year in transition, quote unquote, but you can't wait this offseason because you have moments right now to go get players that can help you be better right now. Amari Cooper, Davante Adams, mm-hmm. Adam Thielen, Deontay Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
There's names out there that can be acquired, and you've done it before. You went out and traded a first round pick for Stephon Diggs. It's got to get to this point where I get it. They tried something and it didn't work. But the past 3 years, they've done the same thing where they've tried something and it didn't work. Like I said, I read off all those free agents.
No.
They go out and get Deontay Hardy and Trent Sherfield last year. It didn't work. What did they do? They sat on it. They waited. And look what happened in the playoffs. Look what happened in the last half of that season. You went away from your number one wide receiver. And oh, look, now he wants to go. Now he wants to leave.
It wasn't necessarily that they went away from Diggs. I still think with that is Diggs saw the writing on the wall and goes, I don't like this. I don't know what they want.
Well, that's my point.
It was more, I don't like what my role is going to be. What my role is going to be is not going to be good enough here. It's going to be what it was last year, which was we all looked at Diggs and went, what the hell's going on? And then, you know, after that, yeah, I mean, they had Davis there, sure. They had Shakir, they had Kincaid. But, like, that's been my biggest issue is the guy they're spending $8 million a year on in Curtis Samuel and the guy they spent a first-round pick on in Dalton Kincaid aren't doing anything. I mean, Shakir's out. You need guys to make a play. And their decision was to throw the ball six times to Mac Hollins. A guy who I heard the Matt Harmon clip because I was sifting mm-hmm. through that as well.
Yeah.
Who, after they missed him on third down, he's the gunner on the punt team.
Right.
And, well, so, and so that's, look, I do not think this is their plan A.
No.
I think it ultimately became that when they were getting a second-round pick for a 30-year-old wide receiver. But ultimately, it has failed. And I think they're also I think it's still a little early to judge Joe Brady, but man, it's 2 weeks in a row where I'm just sitting here dumbfounded at some of the decisions he makes as a play caller. And they missed with Dorsey as well because they love to keep the continuity. That, to me, is both the biggest positive and the biggest negative with the Bills.
Well, and that's what I was talking about, is you need to break that continuity. You need to be able to turn on a dime in season. When you can recognize that something's not working, make moves now that will help you not only for the rest of the year, but for future years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you have to fire a coordinator. I'm not saying you have to fire a head coach. I'm saying go out and make moves that make your team better. Or at least try to.
Well, I mean, they are trying. That's where I'm not totally getting.
What do you mean they're trying to? They're not. They made a trade.
I mean, they did last year for Rasul Douglas.
Right, but
we're in week five. We're still a month away from the trade deadline in a league that doesn't really like to trade in season. It's only a new sort of development that teams are willing to do so.
Right, but the iron's hot right now. You have to strike it.
The iron hot?
Devontae Adams. There's been all this chatter about what's going on.
The Raiders want out. That's great that they want it done. No one's paying a second round pick and then paying his salary. No, that's the chatter now, is no one's doing that. So the Raiders, I mean, Pierce goes up to the podium and everyone's like, what happened with Damien? I don't know. You can ask Devontae. I don't know. We still want the second round pick. There is no iron is hot. There's nothing's happening.
I think in the sense of the iron is hot, I meant, you know, more so the Bills are in need for this and there are names out there to be had. And you kind of want to...
But are there names out there? Amari Cooper's not even on the trade deadline or in the trade block.
His contract looks like
sure,
he is.
Sure, absolutely. They're bad, but there has been no rumblings about Cleveland's fielding calls. They're ready to go. That team is operating like nothing is wrong. Deshaun Watson is still their quarterback.
Which is crazy.
So... Is the iron actually hot? That's my thing. Is we throw out all these names. Is it actually happening? Adams, probably. I think he is going to get traded. I also think he's going to go to the Jets because they're desperate. They are a team. As we're seeing now, they're firing their head coach on a Tuesday before a Monday Night Football game when they're only 2-3. They're still okay. They're still alive. They don't look great, but they're still alive. That's a team that will trade a second-round pick and take on a bulk of the salary, even if they can't really afford it. They will work something out to do so. That is what bad football teams do. And I think a lot of people get locked into that. A lot of fans of, you need to make a move now. And it's like, slow down. Slow down. You make a hasty move, and now in 2 years you're like, oh, why, how could they do that? Now, well, there you go. That's what happens. So when these win-now moves don't work out, like statistically they won't, because one team out of 32 wins Super Bowl every year, you're pissed. In 6 months, even though they did do something. The Bills did draft a receiver in this draft class. They did add guys. My frustration has been with the coaching. I think also the players, though. You know, Mac Hollins, track a deep ball, my guy. Please.
Yeah,
fight for the deep ball.
The way he looks back for that ball that he's wide open on, I don't think that was the Allen throw. We were texting when that happened. That's not Allen overthrowing him. That's Hollins' inability to find the ball. He looks... straight up. He doesn't turn and look back. He looks backwards over it. Like his eyes were upside down looking at the ball. And it's like, that's elementary stuff.
But then even on the Josh points, we were talking about that. The Kincaid pass.
Yeah.
Dude, put some air under it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason a linebacker who's two steps behind Kincaid can make a play on that. Make the throw. You're in year seven. Learn to throw a deep ball. And so I think it's not all on the coaching. These players have to perform. Defensive players who are undrafted guys waiting for their time, they get in there, they're ready to go. Jamarcus Ingram was making two interceptions against the Dolphins. Cam Lewis looks like a great nickel corner. Now, at times, they're backups. It's going to happen that all of a sudden, yeah, you're a backup. I get it. But on Sunday, Dwayne Carter, baby, third-round rookie goes in there. He's ready to go. Offensive players... regularly. They're lost.
Keon Coleman got hit in the back of the head with a pass.
Yeah, the offense at times looks like they don't practice together. That's both, I think, on the players and the coordinator. But they're not an Amari Cooper away from being a really good offense. They're not a Devontae Adams away from being a really good offense.
But they are an Amari Cooper or Devontae Adams away from getting back to being a good offense, getting into the flow and getting that. Because I think part of it, too, is everyone is so tense about what's happening right now, and everyone's so you're playing tight. You're gripping the ball too tight. That's the problem right now. Is everyone gets so concerned? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't have that safety valve. Diggs was that safety valve, and Allen and Diggs, you could say. Mm-hmm. But now it's just Allen, and if you rely on just Allen, yes, he can provide you moments of greatness, but he also has shown the sugar high Josh stuff, where it's overthrowing a ball by 10 feet, underthrowing a ball by 10 feet and having it get picked off, making a stupid run that could get himself hurt. There's so many different ways to go about this. And yes, I want to put it all on my franchise quarterback. But at the same time, you need to have someone on the end of the play that he can rely on too. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's the other problem, is he doesn't rely on these guys yet because he's not familiar with them. Shakir is probably the only guy he's extremely familiar with and comfortable with making tough passes to, because Shakir doesn't drop anything. But when he's out, what are you going to do?
Yeah, they look lost when he is not at 100%.
When a fifth-round wide receiver, granted, he's very good, when he's not in the offense, you just collapse?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
803-0550 is the number to call. We'll get to your calls here after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Mittheyer on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's get back to your calls as we go to Kevin here on the line. Kevin, how are we doing this morning?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing very well.
Really appreciate you guys taking my call. Wanted to see what your guys' thoughts on this. One thing I've noticed with Josh, and this is a couple years ago, and he seems to be really lazy with his play action pass. He kind of like throws his arm wildly, doesn't really sell the play action pass. And I remember hearing something about Peyton Manning years ago where it was like, if you look at his tape, like to the last frame, you don't know until the last second. Just want to see how much you think that's a problem, because like I said, I've seen it consistently, and just want to see if I'm kind of blowing things out of proportion, what your thoughts are on his play action pass.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for the call, man. Number one, I think my problem with play action, and this is not really to your point, but I'm going to use it to bring up mine. Don't worry, we're going to get to yours, though. I don't know if he's necessarily lazy on the play action. I wonder, though, and I remember this from a few years ago. I hope I remember this correctly, but maybe it was last year where Allen didn't love play action passes. He didn't like turning his back to the defense, and so they went away from it. Josh, do you remember this at all? Or
kind of, yeah. And I wonder, too, how much that has to do with last year was kind of a newer offensive line, and this year is, too. So yeah. is that something that plays into it?
But I do remember like he didn't like doing play action, so they went away from it, and they've stayed away from it. Like up to this point this year, they're 31st in play action rate on passes where wide receivers are lined up wide. Yet they're one of the best play action teams in football.
Right.
So to me, it's nuts that they've gone away from it. Maybe it is due to who they have at outside wide receiver. You know, really it's Keon and maybe Mac Hollins and
– Yeah. MBS?
And maybe MBS. It's not a good group. I think there is something to it. If Allen really doesn't like play action, there could be something to it of where he's just...
I mean, I think it also can go back to look at what he did in Wyoming. I mean, you can go back as far as...
Could also be his left hand, though, as well. Honestly. Like,
yeah, but last year it wasn't his left hand.
No, but I don't know necessarily if he's been lazy, but if it's something that Kevin's been seeing, it could also be to the left hand, because his handoffs, especially later in the games... I don't necessarily know about Houston.
His fingers weren't taped this week.
Yeah, I was going to say the Houston game might be a little different, but he's had like a weirder handoff, so it may have kind of taken over on the play action too.
At least for this year.
Yeah, at least for the first few games this year, but you're right. His fingers were no longer taped, which, if anyone has broken their hand, kind of.
Good news.
It's pretty good news. It's usually towards the end of your recovery.
I just think, though, that like. That's one of those things where it's like, man, you just got to work through that. You got to try to find a way to get over that. You know, fear of turning yourself away from the defense, trust in your offensive line. Because for the most part this season, they've been very good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously in the Ravens game, they didn't look very good at all. But that's partially due to the fact
even the Houston game.
Yeah, but they weren't as bad as the Ravens game.
No, but I think the pressure rates went up from like the first 3 weeks they were letting up, I think, less than like 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And like the last two games, I paraphrasing here, but I think it's like up to like 45% each. And it was like, oh, man, like what is going on there?
That's a big jump. But it could also be partly due to the opponent. So I look at it and it's like, you know, if you have an opponent where you know you can block them better, run play action. Josh will feel more comfortable, right?
And, I mean, I wish they ran play action way more.
And even just like the pre-snap motion, not even like the fake handoffs, just having receivers in motion through that first few weeks looked unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you get away from that?
Yep. It made no sense to me. Matt, Mike, we'll get you here on the other side. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here for another hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.